Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Today's daf is daf Kufei, and now I'm recording to you from Los Angeles. And the last thing that we learned was the only way that we came to understand what it was that had been sent in this message to Avua de Shmuel, that a Yavama, that a spit, can only get Chalitza, and it apparently became possible from the Achim. So we said that L'chaira, the only way that we could understand this is that it works out Aliba de Rebbe. But it can't work out according to Rebbe Akiva, because according to Rebbe Akiva, we're saying that for sure it should be that it will not parcel the Achim. That's the Gemara today, that if you're telling me according to Rebbe Akiva, Rikika alone does not create any kind of psul, then we're going to have a contradiction in Rebbe Akiva. And we're one daf up from Kuftal Ramad Beis on the bottom. Umiyam Rebbe Akiva Rikika lo pasla. Is it true what you're saying, that according to Rabbi Akiva, that if the Yavama was Rekekes without doing Chalitza, that has no impact whatsoever, and is not considered to be a Pagam, at least possible from the Achim, so that she no longer can be Mekabelas Yibum, Vatanya Chaltza V'lo Rakeka, V'lo Kara, Chalitza Takshera, in a case where she does Chalitza without Rekika, and without Kriya, so with none of the Kriya Sapsukim, none of the spitting, Chalitza's kosher. If Rakika v'lo chaltza v'lo kara, on the other hand, but she does the Rikika, but she does not do the act of Chalitza, she does not do the act of Kriya. Chalitza ta psula, so if it says psula, especially in contrast with the next piece, as we'll soon see, when it says psula, it means that it passes her from the brothers. If she just read kara, but she did not do neither the Rikika nor the Chalitza, so there's nothing to even think about. There was nothing. Ein kan beit michush. So clearly there's two levels over here. There's Chalitza kshera, there's Chalitza psula, which passes her from Yibum, and then there's no Beit Michush at all, meaning that it has absolutely no significance. So now the question is, who would this be true? It certainly can't be true according to Rabbi Eliezer. Ilei me Rabbi Mani. Ilei me Rabbi Eliezer chaltza v'lo rakaka v'lo kara chalitzatak shira. The first line can't make sense according to Rabbi Eliezer, because remember the Rabbi Eliezer shita before was that kacha ye'aseh means anything called a vashu ma'aseh ma'akev, any act at all. Remember that he argued with Rabbi Akiva, and he said that anything, whether it's an act from the man or the woman, is going to be ma'akev as long as it's an act. Certainly the rekika is an act, and therefore, according to him, it's ma'akev. How could it be a chalitza kshera? Elopshita, the only one that it could be is Rabbi Akiva, who holds that only those things that are nageya in the ish. V'katani rakika v'lo chaltza v'lo kara chalitza tapsula. And yet, the following clauses tell us that rekika without chalitza, without kriya, at least passes her to the brothers. I mean, so when you say it's chalitzatab psula, laman, ilaymali alma, that what? That she remains a surah to the world? Pshita? That's obvious. I mean, a chalitza without a chalitza, just with her kika, can we have a chalitza dishtari of the alma? I mean, obviously, this is not a, there's no chalitza. Elalav lachim. Apparently, what it's saying is that the psul is the passover from the brothers, and therefore she now can no longer go ahead and get the yibum. So if that's the case, it means, according to Rabbi Akiva, Shmamina, that according to Rabbi Akiva, indeed, Rikika alone would be sufficient to pass it her. So now, how do we explain the difference between Kor'a v'lo Rakaka, that there's no Beit Michush, and according to Rabbi Akiva, for some reason, that when it comes to the Rikika, then already there is a Beit Michush? That's the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, Maishna Rikika, Maishna Kriya. Why is it that in the case where there was a Kriya, that the Kriya shouldn't possibly, I mean, apparently there's some kind of reason for us to at least worry about making a Gzera. I mean, the Meisr, the Akiva holds that the Rikika is not meaningful, and the Kriya is not meaningful to Chalitza. So why is it that he should say over here that somehow there's a Rabbanan that asks her in terms of Rikika, but there's no Rabbanan that asks her in terms of Kriya? Why would that be? Answers to the Gemara, there's a big difference, because Kriya, the Yisab Bein B'Chriya, Bein B'Sof, look, the Kriya is done at the beginning, where the woman walks in and she says, Me'en Yapmi, and so on. And it's also done at the end, where she says, Kacha Yaseh L'Ish. So in other words, there is a Kriya that could be a Kriya before and a Kriya that could be afterwards. Because of that, Lo Michlef Aleh, nobody's going to assume that just because there was a Kriya, that necessarily there needed to be a Chalitza that was also associated with the Kriya, because they know that there's Kriya that comes even before we begin the Chalitza. So in a case where they saw that there was a Kriya, and then afterwards she goes ahead now and she gets Yibum, what kind of mistake are they going to make? That they're going to think that she got Chalitza and that nonetheless you could do a Yibum Ach Chalitza? They'll understand that probably what the Kriya that they saw was the Kriya that takes place before Chalitza. The Chalitza never happened. So somehow or other they changed their mind and went ahead with Yibum instead. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the Rikika, there we've got a problem. Rikika, where normally there's no Rikika at the beginning of Chalitza. So the Betchila lesson, it's only done after the actual act of the removal of the shoe. So if that's the case, Michlafale, there people are going to easily mix up a case where there was a Rikika with a real Chalitza, because everybody's going to assume that if there was a Rikika, it must be she already completed the Chalitza. So then she would go ahead and now get Yibum. So people will assume that in Achinami, a Yavama has no problem in getting Yibum after Chalitza. Therefore, we had to answer it and say that such a thing is unacceptable. And this is why Rabbi Akiva makes the gzeira in one case and not in the other. So because of this, Asa l'mishra Chalitza, Chalutza la'achim, it may come to be Mater Nisar Koris if they see that, because they'll say, look, we saw it happen before. So therefore, the Rabbanon will gezer that even though the Maisa Rikika doesn't do anything, it's Asar to do Yibum afterwards. All right, so then that means that the Sholchule, we're now saying Lamaisa could be Rabbi Akiva. Not what we said before. And that means that in this case, there's a Rabbanah. Now this is one way of understanding it. There was another version that runs like this. Ikedi Amri Alchi Sholchule. That originally, when they sent this message, the message wasn't the way that we originally understood it as to Avu Ad Shmuel, but rather what they said was, Yivama Shirakaka, in the case where Yivama did Rikika, she should do Chalitza, even though she had done the Rikika before the Chalitza, she continues to do the Chalitza, it's not necessary for her to do Yurika afterwards. So it's, this second now, Ikedi Amri, is not arguing that claiming to say that Rikika is somehow not going to ask her. It just says now, even though the Maisa, you're right, that the Rikika asks her, but after she does the Chalitza, she doesn't need to do Rikika again. So this basically adds to our previous understanding. Now, we're going to actually see a case. There was, in fact, a Maisa where Yavama came in front of Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami was there together. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Abba Bar Mama came. Rabbi Bar Mama was there now, sitting in front of him, learning from him. And she was going at it. She did the Rikika before she did the Chalitza. Rokika mikame the tachalots. Oh, by the way, Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami said now, in front of Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, okay, you know, go ahead. Chalotz lo v'shar le'tigra. So let's finish this up. Shar le'tigra means to let's finish the din. It really means Let her complete her business here. Apparently without telling her that she needed to do Rikika again. So now Rababa Balmama, who was there, said, wait a minute, I'm the Rababa Vabina Merak. What happened to the spitting? She only took off his shoe. So Rababi says, what do you mean? She already did that. Arakikala. Said Rababa, but that's not enough. Tirok, why isn't she now afterwards? Let her go ahead and do again the Rikika after taking off his nalum abakach. I mean, what could you possibly lose that it should be done the way the chatchila is supposed to be done? That first comes the chalitza, then comes the rikika. Said Rabbani, what do you mean? It'll destroy other cases if I do that. Because if I do that, sadafik minei churva. There could be really something very destructive from this. The iamet ahead of it, Tirok, is going to tell me that she needs to go ahead now and do the rikika again. So then people are going to say that lamais amir rikika kabaitz lespo mishasha. The original Rikika makes no difference. And if she went ahead now and did Rikika, so before doing Chalitza, so what? You can go ahead and do Yibum. In which case, they're going to end up, if they make that mistake, then they're going to end up being matir, a Chalutza, to marry the brothers. Because if we're going to tell the Yavama that she should go ahead now and do Rikika after Chalitza, so then people are going to assume that Rikika beforehand wouldn't now pass her from Yibum. So if that's the case, they might indeed allow her to go ahead and to get Yibum. In which case, then if you have a normal Chalutza, so then they would also say, well, look, if a Yavamu did this Rikika was allowed to go ahead and get Yibum, so maybe a Yavama that would get Gacha Chalutza could also do it, and got a real Chalitza, could go ahead and get Yibum. So therefore, it means that they said when they shokule, it was the pshat that she shouldn't, according to this. She shouldn't go ahead and do the rikika, because if she does do it again, then it will lead to possibly a misunderstanding that could ultimately lead to going ahead and then being matron as a chorus. So he asked, if that's the case, you're going to be seimech on the rikika before vaba ina kesidra. It doesn't have to be in the correct order as it's presented in the pasuk. In the pasuk it says chotzana Allah, and afterwards only afterwards says varakaka. And he said, he answered, now rababa mama kesidra lo ma'ak. That's not important. So it doesn't have to be necessarily in the order, and that. Even though the Maisa, he assumed, Rababa Bar Mama, that she says, Kacha Yasavi, which means that it has to be exactly the way it is over here, including the Seder. So, and indeed, there's a very good reason to assume that that would mean that the Seder is Ma'akev. The Rishonim say that in this case, we have a Kabbalah that's only, the Kacha is only in reference to the actual Maisa, not to the Seder of the Maisa. So, who saw the Chuyukam Antchli? Rababa Bar Mama thought that Rabbani was basically responding to him ad hoc, and was just trying to get him off the case. But in fact, Nafak Dakriyeshkach, he went out to see whether he could find any basis for this halacha, and he found that Enochinami, Rabbi Ami, was 100% right. Titania, Bein Shikdim Chalitza Rekika, Bein Shikdim Rekika Chalitza, Masha Asa Asa. Here it says, Beferish, the Seder is not Ma'akev. Now, Levi was once Nafak Lekriyata, and Levi once went out to visit, one of these seed programs, to go out to the boondocks, and the Maisa is really, the Yerushalmi explains that there was actually a request specifically for an Adam Gadol to come and visit, and Rebbe sent Levi that he should be the one, and he came in, and then he couldn't answer any of their questions. It was pretty sad. Anyway, so they asked him. Well, they asked him Gidemes Mao Shetachalot. Can a Yevama, who doesn't have hands, she's a Gidemes, can she do Chalitza? Let's say she takes off the shoe with her teeth. What would be the din of a Yevama Shiroka Kodam? Mahu. How about if she spits, and she spits blood instead of spit? Now, obviously, if she doesn't need to spit at all in order to achieve the Chalitza, the question couldn't have been, is it Ma'akev? The question would only be, is there anything that she should spit again properly? Another question I asked him. If you explain what the meaning is in Sefer Daniel, where it says, Aval agid lecha sarashum bechtav emes. So now, comes along now, the Malach, and tells Daniel, I want to tell you what I saw in the Shemaim, that is written in a ksav that is emes. Something that's written that is reliable and true. What is that supposed to mean? Bechlal dik ksav sheino emes. What, so the angel could have seen something in the Shemaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically just scribbling down, but it wasn't really true. He was doodling. What is that supposed to mean? Lo havidya. The unfortunate Levi did not know a single one of the answers. So, okay. And this is the first they asked him Shailas about Chalitza. Okay, they thought, so he doesn't know very much Halacha. Maybe at least he knows a little bit of Agarata. So he doesn't know anything. Anyway, he went back home, basically, to Pachar Nefesh. So Osa Shor Bei Medrash, he comes to ask in the Beis HaMedrash, the Shailas that he was asked. Omrele, they told him, why would you think that there was a problem in a Gidemis doing Chalitza? It doesn't say V'chaltza Biyad. It simply says V'chaltza. What's Nafkamina? How it's Al-Chaltza? So therefore, she can do the Chalitza. However, now, the truth is that there is, in fact, Yerushalmi that says that Chalitza, I spoke about this earlier, Chalitza should always be done b'yamin. And, that's obviously not ma'akev over here. This Tosis points out that it's only l'mitzvah, it's not l'ikuvah. As far as the second question, where it says, is it dam considered to be a proper spitting? So they answered him, where does it say that she should spit? It says that she should spit. So what's not coming if she spits blood? So it should also be good. So it doesn't... And as to the question of what was the meaning of, which you asked, So it appeared as if there's such a thing as something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would write that wasn't really truthful. And it says, the Gemara lo kasha, kan b'gzardin sheyeshi moshvua. When it says gzardin emet, it means something that's unchangeable. And what is unchangeable? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a shvua, so he takes now a vow that such a thing is going to be, then we call it a ksav emet. But kan b'gzardin sheyeshi moshvua. Over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the initial stages of the din, before it's an absolute, it has to be carried out, and there's a hope that the people will do teshuvah. So that's called not, we don't want to call it an absolute. The word emet implies an absolute. And we can show this goes according to Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. Dom Rav Shmuel Bar Ami Omer Rabbi Yonatan, minay l'gzar din sheyeshim o shvua, sheino mitkareha. How do we know that if you have a shvua on something, that with the gzar din, that it cannot be torn up? Shinamar l'chein ishbati l'beit eili, im itkaper avon beit eili b'zevach l'vimincha, ad olam. So where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nishbati, I swear to beit eili, so then it's talking about the ad olam, meaning that it's something that will have never, ever possibly be changed. It gives you a sense of its being a gzar din that's irrevocable. What happened over there with Eli, even though Eli himself was a great tzaddik, but Lamaisa, Chofni and Pinchas were considered to be chaitim, in terms of the way they related to the korbonas, that they took the chelek of the kayanim before it was really time, or that the way the Torah puts it is that they slept with the women that were bringing their korbanos, which the Gemara tells us really only means that they didn't bring the korbanos quickly enough so that the women could get back to their husbands. But in any event, it was considered to be a tremendous chilul Hashem and a chet of a chilul of the zivchei shamayim. And because of that, Eli was told that all of his children, all of the male children throughout the Dairis, would die young. And then that was backed up now with what it was that he heard from Shmuel. That was the same day that Shmuel himself got the Nevi'ahs, and that there was a Shvua that was made on it. And once already we bring up the Beis Eli, Omar Rabbah, notice, says Rabbah, if you take a look at the way the Pasuk, it doesn't say it'll never be Mitchaper. It says it will never be Mitchaper b'zevach u'mincha, which means b'zevach u'mincha'ino Mitchaper av Mitchaper v'divrei Torah. So that even though it cannot be, find a kapora by bringing a carbon, this makes sense, because after all, Eli's children, the reason for the Gzar Din Sheyeshim Moshvu over here was the fact that they had been mezalzel and korbonos, and therefore they would not be able to use korbonos to be mitaken that which went wrong. But being as, and this is the Marsha puts it, being as there's really three dvarim sha'olam oimed, one is Torah, one is Aveda, one is Gemilas Chasadim, and Torah is ahead of Aveda. So even though they missed out on the Aveda, they can, however, mitchaper b'divrei Torah. They can use the other amud. Whereas Abaye says, "Bezevach of a mincha inu mitchaper." You're right about that, but you're wrong in saying that it's only Torah that can take the place, because Torah, in order, would be Torah Aveda Gemilas Chasadim, and you think that if they were mevatel Aveda, so they can no longer use Gemilas Chasadim. But the truth is, you could be medayik also bezevach of a mincha inu mitchaper, but it still would be mitchaper b'Gemilas Chasadim also. That doesn't mean exclusively, but also in terms of Torah. The Rashash puts in over here that actually the words b'teira u'b'gmilas chasod. Elsewhere, Lamaisa, that's the way the sugya is brought. So Rabba and Abaye personally, well, there's a whole discussion whether maybe it's some of the gurus over here, Rava, and this is a big discussion among the Mefarshim. But it says over here that the correct yours is Rabba. It's a big question whether Rava b'chol was a kohen, how could it come from Beit Eli. But in any event, Rabba and Abaye both came from Beit Eli. Rabba was Eisek in Teira, like Yeshua, to be mischaper. Indeed, he lived Arba'im Shnin, he lived 40 years. Whereas Abaye was Eisek in Teira, and Gemilas Chasodim was Chaya Shitin Shnin. He lived for 60 years. So in Mela, that additional Zechus provided for him also the additional 20 years. Tan Rabbanan, Mishpacha Achateta B'Yerushalayim, Shayu Meitim Kiven 18 Shana. There was a family in Yerushalayim where the people, the males, would die when they were 18. Bovo, Diel, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Zakkai. Asked them, what can be done? It's a terrible tragedy. Is it possible that you come from the Beis Eli? So go and learn. All of you become Eiskin and Teira, and you'll see that they'll live. And indeed, those who were Eiskin and Teira lived. And because he was the one who gave them the aids that saved their lives, they called the family of Yochanan. Omer Shmuel Bar Unya Omer Rav. Now that we're talking about the nafkamina between a gzar din that's nechtam and a gzar din that isn't nechtam, I want to bring a raya that minayin l'gzar din shel tzibur sheinu nechtam. Where do we know that a gzar din against the whole tzibur is never sealed in a way that makes it irrevocable. What do you mean, eino nechtam? How can you say there's no chassim? It's a fresh posik. V'aksiv, ki im techapsiv baneter, v'tarbilach borit, nechtam avanech lefanai. You can wash with nitron, and you can use as much soap as you like, but your chait is permanently stained. So that means that there's such a thing as an irrevocable chatima. This is certainly what it implies. That's what the meaning of a nichtam, of a stain. We're not darshaning nichtam with a chof to be nichtam, obviously. But we're saying that when you're talking about staining, a stain implies it's something that you can't remove. Answers the Gemara, what Rav really meant was, I mean, the way it should have been said, is that minayin she'afilu nechtam mitkareya. Not that it's not nechtam, but that it's not technically nechtam. The fact that it's sealed doesn't mean that it's irrevocable. Shenemar, mi kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. Who is like God whenever we call on him? In other words, it doesn't matter how close we are to catastrophe. At the last moment, we can still avoid the catastrophe by doing teshuva. Ivaktiv Yeshua Shem Bimatzo. Isn't that a contradiction? It says Bichol, which is mashman any time. And here it says that there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found. Biyoto Karov, it continues down the Pasik. So that means that other times he's not close, not available. And says the Gemara Lokasha. It's not a problem, it's true. But Habi Yachid, where it says Yeshua Shem Bimatzo, is referring to an individual who doesn't have a tzibur with him. So over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not always available. But when it's talking about Chol Koreinu Elav, it's talking about when somebody's together with the Tzibur, then even when it seems to be hopeless, there's still an opportunity to be Korea and rip up a Gezar Din, even if it's Nechta. Yes, the Gemara V'yochid Emas, when indeed is the time that we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matsui, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravua, for the Yochid is the Asara Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim. Those 10 days, when we say 10 days, we mean from, inclusively, from including Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Those are the time when we say Yeshua Hashem b'himatzo, or even a yochid is capable of reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shokhele le'avu edishmu. Now there was another, we've spoken about the first mimer that was sent to Avu edishmu with the discussion that we had earlier about Yavama that was Rokekes, what's her din, l'gabi chalitza. Another thing that they sent to Avu edishmu, another psak halacha, tshuva, was that a Yavama shirokekot dam. Before we're talking about Rekita, here we're talking about a Yavama Rokeka Dam. Tosfos says initially there was the originally one, the Yavama Shirokeka, and then they added to it this additional tshuva, which is Yavama Shirokeka even Dam, limits herself only to Chalitza. Why is that? Tachalotza fishi yevshal dam below tzich tzach rok, even though the Maisa, it's not really the question of Dam itself being a kosher Eureka. But there's got to be some spittle itself that's inside any time that she would have been rokek as dam, and therefore she would be yotze at that point. As the Gemara Meisve, is that true? Yochu yedam yotze mipivu mipia amatame. You might think that if a zov, normally the zov, the ma'ayonis hazov, which includes any type of body fluid that gathers and is ejected, where the din is over there, that it would be metame, and it's mamish like an avatuma. So if the azov would spit, then that roke is mamish metame. And obviously, any type of zivas itself, the discharge of zivas itself, which is prostate fluids, that are its pathological discharge, but that's metame. So you might think that if there's bleeding from the mouth, if there's bleeding from the penis, that would be metame. Talmud lomar zovo tame. It's only the zov itself that is tame, but blood ain't that tame. Yatzei mipivu mipia amatame yala tohor. Masha inken. If you have just bleeding from the mouth or from the penis, that's not metame. Now, the problem is that you just said that when there was dam that she spat, that's considered to have in it roke. So then why, if it's roke, so why wouldn't dam be metame from a zov? Forget about the dam. It should be metame because a gufa, because of the roke. Says the Gemara Lokasha. Obviously, the case is different. Where you're talking about kan bimotzetzet, in a case where she first sucks up the dam. So then in a chinami, there where she's sucking it up, so it also sucks up a little bit of spit with it. And there will be, in fact, metame. And kan bishoteid, but stam bleeding that bleeds directly on its own from the mouth. Why would we say necessarily that it has to have roke together with it? Now we can understand the sugya earlier, that when it said over there, that when it says in the pasuk that she should be v'yorka, it doesn't say that it has to be v'yorka roke. It's not the pshat that v'yorka doesn't mean that there needs to be roke. The meaning of v'yorka obviously is roke. That's the word. The point, however, is we see now clearly, had it been dam mamish then inachinani, there would have been no viorka. And now we understand that the question that Levi was struggling with earlier was whether, if she was rokekes dam, we can say that because there's definitely roke that's mixed with it, it's going to be batal in the dam and not considered to be a pure eureka, or whether it's still called eureka, to which the Gemara then said that, look, it doesn't say that it has to be pure roke. Then we would have said if there was dam, it's no good. It says viyarka, and viyarka would include even roke mixed with something else, like dam. So in other words, the Gemara earlier basically took into consideration this piece that we just learned, that spitting would include always some roke, as long as she was motzetzet. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah was cheresh shenechalatz. So let's turn back to the Mishnah for a moment and take a look at that piece. The Mishnah says, a cheresh shenechalatz. So it means that the male over here, the Yavan himself, was a cheresh. Cheresh means that he's einer shomea v'einer medaber, so he's both deaf and mute. V'chareshet shechaltza, or if a woman, if the Yavama was a chareshes, and she did the chalitza, or of a choletzet lekatan, in all of these cases, chalitzata psula. Then when it comes to discussing the case of the ketana, where the Yavama was a ketana, so ketana shechaltzata chalotz mi shetagdil, she has to do chalitza again when she grows up, the imlo chaltza, but if not, chalitzata psula. And for some reason, we separated this piece out, which is something we're going to have to think about. Why is it different over here? Why didn't we put it together? But first, we want to be aimed on the fact that the Mishnah says that the chalitza, where the yavam is a katan, is considered to be a chalitza psula, which means that she would be nifselet. Omer Reviud, Omer Rav, this is only true Zudiva Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the chalitza of such, in such a case, where the yavam is a katan, is a chalitza psula, and therefore she's now putzela, she was putzelater from the brothers. And if that's the case, I mean, it's the same way. We had this earlier, that according to Rabbi Meir, the chalitza of a katan is considered to be the equivalent of a get for a gadol. And therefore it passes the woman for the brothers. Aval chachamim omrim ein chalitza es katan klum. There's absolutely no meaning to the chalitza of a katan. And according to that, it wouldn't even pass her mina achim. Because there, that same sugya, the chachamim hold that it's only the bia of a katan. Of course, it has to be capable of bia; it has to be 9 years old. That's the equivalent of ma'amar. So that when it comes to chalitza, the chalitza of a katan has bechlal no meaning. Lamaisa, as to what the halacha would be, legabe the other cases. I mean, we're only discussing over here the question of the katan. How about the shaila of a cheresh? I mean, would there be a machlokes over here with the Chachomim, would they, or with Rabbi Meir about that? Or would they agree that when it comes to the chalitza of a cheresh or a chareshes, that over there it's enough to consider it to be possible? The Rambam holds that the chalitza, according to the Chachomim, of a cheresh and a chareshet, is also no base chashash at all and doesn't possible. However, from this Gemara, there are many Rishonim who disagree with it. Okay, the next thing that we learned in the Mishnah is that if a ketana does chalitza, so ketana shochotza, she has to now go ahead and do chalitza again as a gedela, and if not, her chalitza is psula. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav again points out Rav Yehuda Amar Rav that zudevi Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says the Omar ish kosov beparasha umakshin an ish ala ish, since it says in the Torah the lashon of lo yachpots ha'ish, so ha'ish specifically refers to an adult, even though it doesn't say anywhere the word literally isha, which would imply that we need to have a gedela. However, since it talks in the same pasuk about the yavam and the yavama, where it says v'alta yavimto, so that means that it's comparing yavimto to him, and therefore both of them have to be now gedelin. So that according to Rabbi Meir, we now do not have a kosher chalitza. Ava chachomim, I mean the chachomim say, you're right about ish. Ish k'tiva parsha. So since it says an ish, so that means that if the yavam is a katan and ein achinami, it's not a good chalitza. But as far as the isha is concerned, the Torah never said the word isha. And according to this, ben gedela ben ketana, it would be a chalitza. And so the Mishnah, which holds that the chalitza of a ketana is also psula, that's only the sheet of Rabbi Meir and not the chachomim. Who are these chachomim and chachomim? Says the Gemara, it's the das of Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi of Rabbi. So Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe were once sitting together, and one of them began by discussing the following halacha, legabe dinim of tefila. Mispalel tzorech sheyitein einav lamata. Somebody who is praying has to look downwards. There's many different pshatim, and there's downwards. But basically, Rashi's pshat is downwards means towards Eretz Yisrael, because the Shekhinah is present in Eretz Yisrael, as we had in last week's parasha, Yuhei Nayvi Libi Shom, is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, keeps his heart. And it says, Kol Hayomim, which means all the time, even after the Churban. Okay, this Pashtas, I mean, the way he's learning, doesn't mean Einav Lamata towards the ground, necessarily, but meaning not to look upwards towards the sky. V'chadamar Einav Lamala, that on the contrary, you should look upwards towards the Shamayim. Shenemar Nisalav Avinu El Kapayim, we lift up our hearts toward the heavens. Meanwhile, Adach Yas Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Legapayos Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi came over to them and asked them, what are they talking about? Amar lo b'may askitu, I see you discussing so earnestly, what are you referring to? Amar lei, so they said, Amar lei, so they said, we were discussing dinim of tefillah. Amar lohu, so he says, and just as an accident, that's what he had a Kabbalah from his father, he says to them, Kach omar Abba, Rabbi Yossi, my father said that I'm mispal al tzorshitin enav lamata v'liba lamala. The eyes, indeed, should be looking down, and the heart should be looking up. So again, many different approaches as to what this means, whether it has actual physical connotations, or whether it's referring to the spiritual element specifically. And this way, he says, well, I'll discuss that in a moment, this way, both of the psukim, will end up being correct. There's a way to place your eyes, and there's a way to place your heart, and you have to take into consideration both of these. So that if we refer to it in a spiritual sense, the way that Rabbi Yonah brings it, which the Torah also quotes, it's that the Einav, the lave, is a reference to being in the Shamayim. In other words, he should not be involved in Olam Hazeh at all. And the fact that his eyes should be Lamata is a reference to his thought that he's as if he's in the Beis HaMikdash. Others learn Yitin Einav Lamata means that the way the Gra understands it, that before a person can come to Daven, he has to first take a look at how it is that he's acting on this earth. So that if he can first be a mensch and have the midas that are necessary, Lamata, among human beings, then he can put Libo Lamala, which is a beautiful chat. This is the Gra brings in this Pirush HaNiyov. The others, I mean, learn that it means, halacha lemaaseh, Einav Lamata really means Einav Lamata, that he should be facing downwards, that he shouldn't be seeing other things, that he should be kofuf, like a shofar, should look downwards, literally, which leads to the question of whether he's supposed to have his eyes closed anyway, in which case it wouldn't make much of an afkamina, which according to the Zohar, a person is bechlal supposed to daven with his eyes closed, according to which the libo lamala is talking about spiritually, so that he's thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's made himself now meditated in a way in which his space becomes the space of the Shamayim. Again, I believe that it's a halacha that has many, many levels, as many things do, in which there's an interaction between our earthiness and our ultimate self-expression in terms of our ruchnias, and that we are basically comprised of both of these issues. So that on one level, it could well mean that even though a person has it physically, his heart facing the sky with his head upwards, his eyes should be downwards, and that he shouldn't be in a matzav in which he's misgai, as if he looks klapei shamayim. Obviously, the various levels in which he has to consider his place on the earth while understanding his olam haba and seeing things in that particular spatial perspective, I think probably all of these are true on one level. But how does this relate to the question that we raised? And here is what happened. Adahachi asa Rabbi lamatifta. So, meanwhile, Rebbe walks in to the Beis HaMedrash. And of course, at that point, he was going to give a shir. So everybody hurried quickly to their places. The ones who didn't weigh a lot, and they could quickly rush to their places, they sat down. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, who was very heavy, Agav Yukre, because of his heavy weight. So he was basically dragging himself to a place where he could sit, and he was doing his best. So Amalei Avdan, so now one of the Rebbe's Talmidim, Abba Yudin, he's a shortened, Tosis points out this is shortened, we find in Yerushalmi is Abba Yudin, but they shortened it over here, Lashon Kolila to Avdan. So he was very upset to see this, everybody else is in their seats, and he sees this guy schlepping along. So he says to him, who is this? Miu Zershim, if I say Al Roshay Am Kadosh, who's stepping over the heads of Bnei Yisrael? Am Kadosh, I think it's such a chutzpah. And the Bechlal, there's a halacha that a person is supposed to be very careful not to step when people are already sitting in their places. As we held that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was doing the wrong thing. Omar Leiz, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, Ani, Yishmuel Rabbi Yossi, Shabbati, Lilmot, Torah, Mirabi. It is I, Yishmuel Rabbi Yossi, who has come to learn Torah from Rabbi. Now, Lamais, I mean, the way the Aruch Lemer understands this in light of the sugya later on, that specifically, since he's the Ben Rabbi Yossi, that's why he mentions who he is, that he has a right to step over, because that the Gemara says this beferish elsewhere. So that he's really, it could be that they're going to need to ask a piske halacha from me that I can quote from my father. But he says it, b'derech hanivas. I came really to learn Torah from Rabbi. Omar Lei, so Avdan says to him, well, you hold yourself to be in a madriga, that such a person who's so stuck up like you, who can talk about himself in this way and walk over other people, you have a right to learn from Rabbi, who was a famous onov. Omar Leis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said to Avdan, if we're going to start analyzing now about how roi people are, so you can have the same kasha Meisha. Meisha klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able, allowed to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Avdan said to him, Omar Leis, v'chi Meisha ata, well, now you're comparing yourself to Meisha. Omar Leis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said to Avdan, v'chi Rabbi Elohimu, what do you think? Your Rebbe is God. You're asking me if I'm Meisha. You made the same comparison, you idiot. Notice that at this point, he doesn't call Rebbe his Rebbe. He says, Rabcha, your Rebbe is God. Om Rebbe Yosef, Shakli Rebbe Lemitrafse. Here we see that Rebbe already took at this point what he deserved. Meaning he got what he deserved for not being Meicha. The moment that Avdan started speaking in this fashion, so Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe should have immediately shut him up. Since he didn't, he ended up now being insulted in the course of the conversation. Because Rebbe Yishmuel, Rebbe Yosef, when it came down to it, referred to Rebbe as Rabcha. Your Rebbe, the low Rebbe, didn't call my Rebbe. I said earlier, I came to learn Torah from Rebbe. It was Bederach Hanivas. But if you're going to talk to me like this, and Rebbe's not going to support me, so let it be your Rebbe. Adahachi, meanwhile, while this has been a gay arsukia, meanwhile, while this is going on, in walks a Yavama, in front of Rebbe, Ledin. Of course, the Beis HaMedrash was the place where all the Talmidim got practical Shemush. So they're all watching as the Yavama is Atil Akami to Rabbi. Omale Rebbe Lavdan. So Rebbe said to Avdan, she was very, very young, and it looked like she may not be old enough now to go ahead and to do chalitza. So Rebbe said, "Avdan poke batka, go out and see whether she's old enough. Is she a gedela?" So they had to be bedikur to see if she reached puberty. The boss nafak after Avdan went out, Rebbe Shmuel said to Rebbe, "I don't know why this was necessary." Kacho maraba, Rebbe Yossi said, "It only says ish katuv beparasha, aval isha ben gedola ben ktana," which of course is exactly the rabbanon that we spoke about earlier. Now we see that the Rabbanan is Rabbi Yossi. So when it comes to the Yavama, she can do Chalitza, even if she's a Ketana. Omar Lei, so Rebbe now shouts out to Avdan, forget it, excuse me, Tar, you can come back. Lo Tzricha, you don't need to see whether she's a Gedela, because Kvar Hayra Zaken. Rabbi Yossi, who was the Zaken, I already was Makabalist Psak from his son Rabbi Shmuel, and he was already Meira, that even a Ketana can do Chalitza. So meanwhile, at this point, so Avdan was now carefully stepping over people's heads again, exactly as Rabbi Shmuel had done earlier in order to get back to his place. Rabbi Yossi shouts out to him, who the heck are you to be stepping over people? Somebody that Yisrael requires for his piskei halachas, such as myself. Such a person can indeed walk over. But Mishen and Tzarech Lo'am Kadosh, why would anybody need you? Hechi Faseya Roshi Am Kadosh, what kind of reshus does he have to walk over? You see that they needed me. Why do you have to come back? You could stay exactly where you are, and if you're needed again, we'll send you out for another gopher job. Omalei Rebbe Lavnitz, the Rebbe agreed with him. Rebbe said, don't come. Kum beduchtech, stay exactly where you are, and you'll manage to hear the shir from there. Tana. It says in a brisa that be'otah sha'an itzareya Avdan. At that moment, Avdan came down with the horror of tzaras. It's Rashi because he had spoken lashon hara. Lashon hara doesn't have to be not in the presence of a person. Adarab, if the lashon hara is said in presence of a person, it's even worse. So here he had accused Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi of having gaiva, of stepping over people, and so on. For that, he deserved to get tzaras. And got tzaras. V'tavu shnevana, his two sons at that moment drowned. Because of the fact that he was mezalzel and tamir chachamim, bonim and bainim, of course, are related. And instead of getting yibum, me'anu shtei kalosav, his two daughter-in-laws went ahead and they were Mayan. So this was, again, over here there was just no need for any kind of chalitza yibum. Thank the one who is merciful, who shamed Avdan in this world, and not in Olam Haba. This Rachman Alatzan, that this is called only shamed. But that this is my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, used to speak about this all the time. He spoke about the Diktak Adin and the Chumras Adin. Svivav Nisara Ma'od, the area around HaKadosh Baruch Hu was extremely, extremely stormy, which also means extremely hairy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bedaktik in chasidav kechut asayra, that even a hair's breadth is punished. This is one of his horrifying gemaras. Rebbe Ami, midvarav shabaribi nilmod. We can learn from over here, from the words of this Adam Gadol, Rabbi Yaisi, that a ketana choletzes bepu'utot, that a ketana, even if she is a very young now ketana, even though he didn't say what age it has to be, that the moment that she's old enough to be a pe'uta, which is the age that we give midrabona a right to a pe'uta, which is a toddler, a young child, to do legal sales, and even though midiraisa, you cannot do this, but in order for the people to be able to survive, so the Rabbanan were misaking that even at the age of 6 or 7, depending on how mature the child is, that if they sell things, if they buy things, and metatling, that this is kosher. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, it makes sense, therefore, to say that at the same age that we're going to give her the power to do reasonable acts that we understand she has the intelligence for, that must be the shear of the chalitz as well. So when she's that age, 6 or 7 years old, she should be able to be choletzes as a pe'uta. It doesn't say exactly how old it is that she has to be. Not everybody agrees, however. Rava says that it doesn't say a shear, but pe'utes is not yet old enough. It's actually tagiyelo not nedarim. She has to at least be old enough, which is a year before the age of godless. And over there, since she can make a neder, and at that point we understand that her mind is well enough developed that she understands the nature of a neder and her commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here too, for chalitza, it's the same thing. So again, the shaila is over here, or do we look at chalitza as a simple legal transaction, which is essentially involved, since we had earlier the question of whether we compare chalitza to din, or does it have to do with the meaning of the chalitza, that she has to do what she's doing in order to be making shame and understand the relevance of it, klapi hakom hashem. The halacha, however, is neither, not neither of these. The halacha is, ach tavish de sarot, we paskin really like Rabbi Meir, that she needs to be a gedela, and that really she does need to have shtei sa'ares. There's still, of course, the question of what happens if she does now a chalitza. Is the chalitza perseles? Which was true according to Rabbi Meir, is the chalitza now completely useless and not even perseles? So Tosis points out that clearly we did not mix the part about ketana shechalitza, chalitza sapsula, which it says in the Mishnah, together with the other cases. Because if we're saying chalitza sapsula could be together with all of the cases before. So Tosis says, since Rabbi Yossi is going to argue at length, so because of that, we wanted to put it separately. But the shaila is, why bother saying, therefore, that she should be choletzet mishitagdil? You know, how can we say this only by her, not by the katan? I mean, obviously, if it's by Celeste, then she needs chalitza. To which Tosus explains that if we wouldn't have said anything by the chalitza's katana, I would have thought that when it says chalitza, it means only mirabona. And that comparison of Isha Laish is not a diraisa, so that if she can't do chalitza afterwards, that the chalitza was actually chal. That's why we want to go out of our way to say something which is clearly unnecessary, that she needs chalitza when she's older, to tell us that a chalitza ketana is indeed not any more meaningful than the chalitza's kota. But Tosis also brings another lash, another girsa in the Mishnah, which is the way the Yerushalmi brings the Mishnah, that says, tachlotz mishatagdil v'in lo chatzal chalitzata kishera. So mashma, according to this, that Rabbi Meir himself was comparing isha le'ish, is only min rabbanan, but according to Rabbi Yossi, chalitza speeds even lechatchila. And indeed, we'll see later on exactly such a case. I'll leave it Rabbi Meir. Okay, the next case we had is Echolza Bishnayim. We then spoke about doing Chalitza. Once again, let's turn back to our Mishnah and see the variance of the number of people that need to be there. So the Mishnah said, Chotze b'shnayim, so if there were only two people there, or even if there were three people there, but one of them was possible, because Nimtzeach and Nimkorav a possible, that the halacha would be that Chalitzos a psula, whereas Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan, and Sander are machshir, and we bring a maisa, in which someone did Chalitza all on their own, no one else there, in a jail, and the Bar Maisa of the Rebbe Akiva v'yichshir. We're now going to discuss at length this last piece of the Mishnah. So, Omer of Yosef Bar Minyomi, Omer of Nachman, you should know that Ein Halacha Koto Azug, the Halacha is not like Reb Shimon and Rebbe Yochanan Asanda, that Chalitza is Kshera b'fnei Shnayim, and you need, in fact, b'fnei Shlaisha. Es the Gemara of Omer of Nachman Chod HaZimna. Why are we repeating this now? We had before the Omer of Yosef Bar Minyomi, Omer of Nachman, Chalitza b'shlaisha, that you have to have three people b'shlaisha. So why in the world would I need to say in halacha kaysa azug? No. Because the context is completely different. Tzrich, of course I need both of these piskei halachas. Let's say we only would have known the yidma hachka mais. Let's say we would have said that first halacha, that you need chalitza b'shlaisha. So hava mina hani milil chatchila. All that that's saying is, in that context, it's just arguing as to whether you need five, or whether it's enough to have three. So we know, we were talking before, Reb Yehuda says you need five, so he's saying no, chalitza b'shleisha. But that doesn't necessarily mean a b'diavad. Maybe b'diavad afilu b'tshrei. Maybe two would have been sufficient. Kamashman, therefore we need this other psak, that ain't al hachakoto azug, that even b'diavad, chalitza in front of shnayim, is insufficient. On the other hand, v'iyash v'ina, let's say that he would have just said this thing. We don't paskin like Reb Shimon and Reb Yochanan Asanda that b'fnei shnayim. So then I would have thought that maybe that means that what? It's not like Eis Rezur, but it's like the Tanakama that needs shleisha. Okay, but that's in the context of the Yavad. Avamina the Yavad, I would have thought that's only if, okay, you didn't do five as you were supposed to. So it would be kosher even if there would be three. Avalachatchilu liboy chamisha. Maybe indeed we would need five lachatchilu like Reb Yehuda. Therefore we need both. One to tell us that no, the halakha is not like Reb Yehuda and that three is sufficient even lachatchilu. And therefore, tzricha, that three is sufficient l'chatchila, plus, you should know that if, b'diavad, you did two, it's also not enough, that three is an absolute. So we have two separate piskei halachas. L'maisa, you see from here, l'chayra, that that's the whole point, is that there is no need at all for five, which is mashma, that there's no advantage at all in having the five. And yet, that's only in terms of the dayonim, in terms of the publicity that we said, Pesume Milsa Hinachinami, there is an need to have additional people. Now the Mishnah ends with the words Maaseh Shechaltzu, there was once at Maaseh where they did Chalitza just with the two of them, and Rabbi Akiva said that it was kosher. How does that make sense, Esther Gemara? I understand, what do you mean, between the two? So Miyadana, how then can we know Bichlal that there was a Chalitza? Who's to say that the Chalitza was there? Well, because they said that there was a Chalitza. Therefore, it's sufficient. Now, the truth is, there's major, major machlokes over here as to what the problem in the Gemara is. Is the problem in the Gemara, how do we know? And it's just a shayla of where is the Eidus? Or is the problem in the Gemara because it has the same halacha of every Dvar Erva that requires Eidus not just in terms of informing us, but requires Eidus in order to be an actual chalois. The same way that you can't, even if we know for a fact, let's say we have a video of Kiddushin, it's not considered to be Kedusha, because the function of the Eidus is to create the Kedusha, not simply to let us know that there was a Kedusha. So there is, in fact, a Shita between the Rishayim, that would be the Halacha over here, and that if the Chalitza was only a Yavam and a Yavama, where are the Eidus to make it an actual Chalitza? To which, Amrev, you know, Meshmuel, the Eidim Ro'ino Somi Bachutz. It was talking about over here, where there were Eidim, the Eidim were outside, and they were, maybe that's why the Mishnah says it was only Beino Leveina, but the Eidim were also there. They just weren't inside the same room. Now, the Maisa, the question over here is whether that means that you need to have three Dayanim plus Eidim, or can the Dayanim also have Eidim? The Maisa, because of this halacha, the minute became to have now, besides the Dayanim, to have the Eidim that are Miuchadim. And we're going to see more on tomorrow's daf, more about the way in which the mechanism of the Chalitza works, according to the Rambam, which leads to important implications in this particular question, as to what the function of the Eidus are. But right now, let's just examine the next piece of the Mishnah, in which it says over here that there was a Maisa that came now, that was done in the Beit HaAsurim, Iboilu. How do we understand these last words? Was it that Ma'aseh Shechatsu Beino Leveina, that somebody did a chalitza between himself and the Yavama? That was done anywhere. Avroi, that wasn't in prison. It's just that the Maisa was brought before Rabbi Akiva while Rabbi Akiva was in prison. Maybe that's the Pshat. Ubama Aseh Lefnei Rabbi Akiva Bebeit Asurim. What is the way to understand the Mishnah? Doesn't mean that the event took place in prison. There's a little bit of a problem. Tosfos points out in the Mashmaut of the Mishnah, it's rather difficult to read into the Mishnah that it was brought to Rabbi Akiva. It says Maaseh Shechotzu BeBeit HaAsurin. I mean, the Maaseh Chalitza was Beit HaAsurin, and then it says Uba Maaseh Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Tosfos says that Lamaisa in a lot of the Yersos. It says without the vav, boma aselefnei Rabbi Akiva. So the question is, Beit HaAsurin could be going under Rabbi Akiva. So in any event, we actually know what happened. Bam Rav Yudah Marav, what happened was that Beit HaAsurin hayom aseh, ule Beit HaAsurin boma aseh. The event took place in prison, but it happened to be that it was also brought to Rabbi Akiva in prison. And the Tosfos explained, it's not that that's the mashmaut of the mishnah, that we happen to know that that was the event. And he brings the story from the Yerushalmi that Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler went and pretended to be a street vendor, and he sits under the window in which Rabbi Akiva was imprisoned, and he's shouting, okay, anybody for needles, anybody for threads, anybody for knitting needles, anybody knows about Chalitza Beino Leveina, anybody? And it was just sort of like one of these fast sold to American kind of discussion, which only somebody who would be paying attention would have noticed the words of Chalitza Beino Leveina. Anybody else would have just thought that they didn't quite make out what he was saying. Rabbi Akiva, of course, the only thing that caught Rabbi Akiva's attention was the question, the Chalitza Beino Leveina. So he shouts out from the window, hey, excuse me, Itlach Kushin, do you have any knitting needles? Itlach Kushin, Itlach Kusher. So again, it sounded like he was just repeating himself, but of course, Rabbi Yochanan picked up the words kosher. So that was the pshat that was bought lifnei Rabbi Akiva.